Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is AJ and Dusty.
All right, listen up. I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
With AJ McCord.
That beer's getting better, I admit that. But you're still weak on the left side.
And Dusty Hera.
And I noticed that he wears those leopard spotted underwear. Bikini style, sir.
AJ and Dusty on 1080.
What kind of power?
Good afternoon, happy Monday to you, the 19th of July, 2021, Dusty Hera, AJ McCord, what's going on, AJ?
What's up,
How'd the weekend go?
It was just grand. We avoided hospitalization, which feels like a really good thing, given that we went rafting this weekend.
Wait a minute.
And it was fun.
Is that like your qualifier every weekend is I avoided hospitalization? Because like, hey, yeah, it was a pretty good weekend. I didn't go to the hospital this week.
Well, we went on a pretty big adventure. We did a big rafting trip for the birthday. And so we went on the white salmon and ran the waterfall. And it was exciting. Fell out of the boat.
Oh, sweet.
As we're going over the waterfall. Pretty epic.
Now, when we discussed this rafting trip that you were going on, you said that, yeah, I got my bursitis in my elbow. I'll be sitting in the front of the raft like the child.
Yeah.
Is that how you went out?
No.
Oh.
Nope. I could not resist being a part of the team. So I had my brace on. I was paddling. And then we went just... No, nosedived in. Like we have photos. We have a 16-foot raft. At one point, it looks like it's about 6 feet because the 10 of the feet are underwater, like as it's going under the waterfall.
10
or down underneath the waterfall.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now
it was exciting.
You say we have a 16-foot raft.
Yes. Hubby and I own a raft.
You don't go like with a guide service. You're just like, let's hop in the raft.
Yes.
Let's roll.
Yes.
How many people were with you?
Chaos. It's not chaos. We went with, let's
sure.
See,
sure doesn't two, sound like it's not chaotic
four,
at all there.
Five, six? I think it was six. Yeah, six of us in the raft.
So.
Maybe five.
How do experienced guides like yourselves find your... boat 10 feet underwater?
Well, this is a huge waterfall. This is like a 16-foot waterfall.
Right.
And so there's only, like, the way to run it, we ran it correctly.
It sure doesn't seem like it.
You just have to prepare much better for the kick of the raft than we did. So we watched a bunch of people go down, and they just sit. And, like, that's the whole goal. It's like you paddle, 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 and then you just sit in the bottom of the raft, and you hold on for all your worth because you're going to have a huge impact at the bottom. So for the most part, we did that. But at some point in the rebound of, like, we hit, I get bounced up. Person behind me also gets bounced up, hits me. I go out, but I hold on to the raft.
Right.
The entire time. So I'm like getting thrown around like a rag doll with just my bad arm attached to the handle of the raft.
With your bad arm?
Yep. Yeah, it was great.
My bursitis!
Exactly. But it's fine. Look, we're moving the arm today.
You know what makes sense?
Fine.
When you said we didn't go to the hospital,
This sounds like, yeah, you're probably right.
Avoided it.
Okay.
So it's a success. Little sore this morning.
Okay.
Feels like I got chucked over a waterfall. But it's
because you
epic.
Did.
Yeah.
You did.
I did.
That's something that happened. Rafting is so much fun, though.
It is one of my favorite things to do.
How long after that happened did you say, okay, my arm's really hurting?
It not terrible.
Okay.
I think my shoulder took the majority of the rotation.
Mm. So does that mean your husband was the guide in the back
of
the raft?
No, we went with like four people who we all guided together in Colorado. So we just took turns.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So. Well, you should see that guide.
It was so fun. If you'd asked me, like, as soon as I popped back in the boat, hey, do you want to do it again? I would have said yes. It was epic. Low consequence, fell out. It was fine.
Cool. That sounds like a kick-ass weekend.
Yeah.
And a great way to beat the heat.
It was perfect. If you have not been on the white salmon, obviously I'm not going to recommend you go with us because you should go with professionals who are still professionals.
You should open up a river rafting guide
place where the
slogan is, it was a good weekend. Nobody went to the hospital.
Listen, you choose adventure. Sometimes these things happen.
Let's go.
Like we talked about, our risk management with the skydiving versus the bridge diving.
That is true.
I'm okay with this level of risk.
Let's go Hawks, baby.
I don't know how that's relevant here.
The 405 to the 5 through the Orange Crush.
What? Oh, man.
Anyway, how was your weekend?
Oh, it was good. Good. We went out to the Oregon coast this weekend. It sounded like this is a weekend where people just kind of got, usually we're just staying home, not doing much. Mm. We went out to beautiful Manzanita.
Oh, so pretty.
It was awesome.
Yep.
It was great weather. Like, you never know what you're going to get at the Oregon coast. We had great weather all weekend long. Like, it even rained a little bit on Saturday morning, which was weird to see.
Yeah.
But then that just stopped, and then it was beautiful the rest of the day. So it was awesome. I love going out to the coast because, one, it's beautiful. Two, I can say this because my mom is a coastie. Coasties are different people. Like, the locals, like the locals that are from there.
Mm-hmm.
Coasties are different people. And,
how so?
They're just a little, I mean.
You know when you meet them.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like, I don't know. I mean, it's really hard to describe. It's, okay, I'll try right here. The nicest person that you know that is antisocial, right?
Like,
I don't want to say antisocial,
but like, okay, keeping to themselves at times.
Yeah. Like you're on the fringe there.
Okay.
Of,
well, it's pretty remote out there. That makes sense.
Yeah. Well, up and down. No, I'm talking like the Oregon coast as a whole. Like,
no,
like
I know. And I'm saying like outside of the summer, if you go in the winter, it's just locals.
It really is. It's like if you were to take like, I don't know, it's like the best of both worlds where you take like the people who just kind of want to be secluded up in the hills, but then you take the people that want to live in like a city and then you just like say, you know what? You rolled right off the hill and onto the coast and that's where they settled. And that
there you go.
It is awesome to go out there. We had great conversations with all of our bartenders and waiters and waitresses and stuff. And then it's one of my favorite places to go because of the people that are out there.
AJ, have you ever seen the movie The Hills Have Eyes?
No.
Nothing like The Hills
it's
Have
like
Eyes.
It's like that. It's no. all everybody that lives
Isn't
at the
that
coast.
Isn't that a scary movie?
You're correct, yes.
Yeah, I don't watch. I don't.
Yeah, go don't there in October.
Go to
Coos Bay in October. And then that'll give you the real life shock of coasties.
I've been to.
No. Don't.
I just did.
just don't.
I just did.
I've been to Brookings in January and some of the nicest locals I've ever met.
Yeah, Brookings is a dream. I'm telling you,
go Coos Bay.
Go Coos Bay. You want to see some real ass?
No, yeah. No, now you're talking. Yeah, that's a different kind of coastie. Now that kind of coastie is a different, like, that's a different breed.
That's okay. True coastie.
Duly noted.
Nah,
they tell you get out of our town.
Of the coasties. That's not what they say.
Get out of here.
So neither here nor there. You had fun. Great locals, which is always my favorite part about going to a smaller town is meeting the people who live there.
They tell you go back to Cannon Beach.
Northern coast and southern coast are. You do get a different breed there.
Valid.
You get a different breed there.
Valid. Valid.
Very different. All right. Yeah, this text says, I grew up in Bandon pre-golf course. Coasties are a strange bunch for sure. They are. They are. But there's also a self-awareness of that. There's a big-time self-awareness of Coasties. I love them.
I will tell
God
you.
God bless them.
I've been to Seaside during the high season, whatever you want to call that, July pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And you can...
Season?
What's that?
Like the tourist season?
Yeah, that's when most everybody tries to go to Seaside when, you know, try to avoid the busy times. But you go in July anyway. And I remember last year, my wife and I went to in July, and you can tell real quick who's a tourist and who's not. And it's not even the clothes. It's the looks. It's people looking at you like, get the hell out of my town, which I don't blame them because it's like the main source of economy for people in Seaside are the tourists.
Yeah.
But we are admittedly just annoying people because we're constantly asking for directions.
Did you go on the Tilt-A-Whirl?
No. Went to the arcade.
They got the Tilt-A-Whirl.
Well, it's because, and this is something that I do sort of feel relatively passionate about, is that when you're going into somebody's home... And maybe it's because I grew up in San Diego, which
Knock
is very
first.
Much a vacation. You know, that's like where a lot of people spend their vacation in San Diego.
Yeah.
But if you're going to go into someone else's home as a vacation, like their town, you should be very respectful of the town itself, the people who live there full time. Mm. And I have a bunch of friends in Hawaii who are dealing with this a ton with now that they're letting all the tourists back in. And there's just like no... I mean, we see it in sporting events, but people are like forgetting how to act when they go on vacation. Mm. Just because you paid to be somewhere doesn't mean you can trash a place or get too close to wild animals. You know, like it's just so it is a little bit of a I don't blame locals on the coast, and especially in July when you're like, oh, my gosh, I just want my sanctuary back. And then people come in and trash your beaches and congest your roads and whatever. It's a love-hate relationship with the tourists.
I just want to drink beer in the rain.
I get it. I'm just saying. I have empathy for it. I have empathy because sometimes, most of the time, tourists don't have great reputations.
Yeah. We have some coasty hot takes coming in on the fan text line.
Nice.
We love Florence. I've been going there for decades. That's where my grandma lives, is in Florence.
There's a really good sushi spot in Florence.
What?
Yeah. No, I'm serious.
I can believe that. There's a great
really
sushi
good.
Spot.
You got your pockets. There's pockets everywhere. Yeah. There's pockets everywhere that are really nice.
There's a great sushi spot in Corvallis, Tokyo Steakhouse.
Spooky Lao.
And I tell people that, and they're like, oh, whatever. That's Corvallis, Oregon. Yeah, right. It's like, no, try it. It's good.
Okay. Yeah.
This one says, Coasties are either rednecks or hippies. There is no in between. I say nay. I think that is where they come together. They come together.
They're the combination.
Like it's a yeah. Like you sit there and you're like, huh? Very hard to describe.
But I think your hippies are very wealthy, independent people that live north.
Nope.
And your hillbillies.
Nope.
Oh yeah.
Nope.
Yes.
Nope.
Give me a town that's a lot of hippies. Coast town.
Manzanita would probably
again
fall in
wealthy
there.
Independent hippies.
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
Well, but then you can go up and down though, and it is where it'll be a mix. Like there's 100% a mix in like Rockaway or Gearhart or places
the one
like that.
That has Thor's Well.
Mm.
That has Thor's Well. Starts with a Y
that
I never
Thor.
Thor's Well.
Oh, I have no idea.
And like the Punch Bowl. Starts with a Y, and I'm going to spell it because I don't know how to pronounce it, and you guys can tell me.
Yellowstone.
No. On the coast of Oregon?
Oh.
Y-A-C-H-A-T-S.
Yahats.
Yahats. Okay.
Yahats.
How would you, because that's one of my favorite coast towns to go to in the winter, because I find the locals to be so kind, so inviting, and there's no other tourists there.
Yeah, because nobody's really going to Yahats.
Well, I love it there.
All right.
Good brewery, great hiking.
Yeah. Yahats is your southern hippie town. That came in right now.
Ah, well.
Boom.
I like it quite a bit.
Snooty North Coasters.
See? This happens, dude. It's like NorCal, SoCal
I'm
type of
you,
thing, too.
It's Tillamook.
Like, there's a battle.
Tillamook is your marker. Anything north of Tillamook, that's where you got your hippie, independent, wealthy coasters. Then you go south, and it's the heart and blood of the coast. It's like, you better work with your hands down here, jerk.
Duh. Well, you got Pacific City is south.
Or we'll
which
throw
is
you
not,
in the Pacific.
Or we'll throw you in the Pacific.
That's what they do send in
your,
Seaside.
Send your kite off driving, into the sunset.
We drove through Tillamook over.
Surf away.
We drove through Tillamook over the weekend.
Sweet dreams.
And as we were driving through there, it was like this realization of like, we're going through this place that has like some of the world's best cheese, and it's on the Oregon coast. Yep. Like, how? Why?
I don't know.
Never would have thought it.
Nope.
Never would have thunk
but it. But it is good.
Always being together.
Tillamook doesn't make bad stuff.
It's just too busy.
The actual factory itself, yeah.
But yeah. I haven't been. Didn't
you want
they
a good
just
grilled cheese
it?
Sandwich? Yeah. You want a good grilled cheese sandwich? Head out there. Tell you right now.
I don't know that I've been since they reopened it. I went before they redid it, and I thought it was very fun.
Oh yeah,
lots of good cheese curds.
If you grew up in Oregon,
which feels very Wisconsin.
It's two field trips you take in your lifetime.
Classic.
OMSI, Tillamook Cheese Factory.
Yeah, see.
Boom.
Everyone has those.
Dude.
We for one of the elementary school trip that everybody did. Was we would stay on the Star of India, which was like an old pirate ship that is still docked in San Diego Marina.
Oh, that's dope.
You just say you would stay?
Yeah, you'd like sleep on this old pirate ship or like remade pirate ship, I don't know. And you would have like, everyone would have a job. So you'd spend the night there, but you'd like one would be the galley crew, one would be the, what's it called? Crow's Nest, you know? That was my job because climbing heights, I loved it. And then someone
swabbing
had to swab the deck. Yeah.
The poop deck. Yeah. You got to swab the poop deck.
But that was like every elementary school student in San Diego, I think, had a field trip to the Star of India.
Wow.
I know.
That's pretty cool.
Is
there like a
cheese is pretty cool too.
No vitamin C for a month so you could get scurvy and get the true experience
it was
of being
one night. Elementary school, Dusty. This is not hard.
No vitamin C for a month
it's
leading
not
up
yo
to
ho,
it.
Yo ho, pirate's life for me. This is just a taste.
Yeah. I didn't go to the Tillamook Cheese Factory when I was a kid. My school was like halfway there compared to where we went. Yeah, no, we did not.
Oh man,
we did not
you
do that.
Out.
No, I think I took a field trip to the Oregon factory. Like they actually make Oregons there.
I'm sorry.
My experiences were way different
Hold
than
on.
Like Oswego School District.
Wait.
Yep.
You said they make Oregons?
Yeah, like the instrument.
Oh, Oregons.
That's what I said.
No, you pronounced it with an E between the R and the G. I heard they make Oregons, like the state. And I was like, I have no idea what you were talking
Oregons.
About. Okay, well, that makes more sense. I don't know why. I don't know why that's what I heard. Maybe I still have river water in my ear.
You probably do.
It's quite possible.
You probably do. Possible. All right. Well, we are talking coastal towns.
And rivers.
Somehow, some way. And field trips.
Here we are.
It's a Monday.
It. Happy Monday.
I will tell you, some of the guys I played with from California, they wanted me to take them really bad to the beach. And I did. And they were like,
"This is not
the
a beach.
Hell is this?
Yeah.
This is not like, the beach I'm used to.
Yeah. I was like, it's the coast, dude.
See, that is your big, that's a big problem. When they said, hey, will you take me to the beach? You go, no, we go to the coast here.
Yeah.
It's different.
Yep.
Look, get your windbreaker.
You got to bring your puffy. Year round.
Talk about puffy.
Yeah.
Oh, not what I'm talking about. Darkens, your North Face, your Patagonia, your puffer jacket.
This is how a conversation with my wife went. She goes,
"My gosh,
I'm gonna go put my swimsuit on," and I was like, "All right." She comes out and she's wearing like a puffy jacket, leggings, and a sweatshirt underneath. I was like, "Yep, going to the beach.
Yep.
Everything looks good. Here we go."
Yep.
Man, y'all walk on down
so
there.
So different.
It
so
is different.
Different.
It's a lot different.
Also, I have backup. You said Oregon the first time.
That's not. No.
At least.
No.
There's a lot.
Three.
Four. Yeah, four.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for backing me up here. Feel heard on this Monday.
Perfect. All right, we got sports today. Hey, today's a lot different than Friday. Damian Lillard. He answered those questions, so...
Moving on.
Not really. Not really. But we do. We've got a heavyweight finals. What a Game 5 we saw on Saturday night in Phoenix. AJ and Dusty on the Fan and the Odyssey app.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
After getting their butts kicked in the first two games of this NBA Finals, the Milwaukee Bucks have rifled off three straight wins, and we finally have a series because somebody won on the road Saturday night. 123-119, another epic between the Suns and the Bucks.
It was, so I didn't watch this one live. I caught up on it because we were out of service for much of the weekend. Caught up on it this morning and obviously saw some of the highlight spoilers on the interwebs. But this was the kind of game that the Bucks have been searching for, this stretch in particular, to prove, hey, we don't just need to win at home. Yep. We can go into the Valley and get it done. And I thought the poise that Milwaukee showed down the stretch was very, very indicative of just how much they've matured even in this series.
It has been fun, really fun to watch, and how that game kind of played out with the tale of two quarters to where, like, you're talking about that maturity and that growth where the Suns absolutely smacked Milwaukee in the first quarter where they shoot 74% from the field, 83% from three, and then in that they outscore them it was like 37-21 after the first quarter. And then the second quarter, like, you sat there and you went, this is going to be another blowout. In Phoenix, and that growth and that maturity that you're talking about, Giannis gets his breath at the beginning of that second quarter, and all of a sudden, like, Bobby Portis and Drew Holiday just take over the game, where Portis has 9 points, and Drew Holiday, who, you talk about a guy who can have the biggest disappearing act and then just show up and be like, oh yeah, I'll save the day. He's done it like in every series so far. And in what's different in this one is he's done it twice. He did it in game three as well. When they came back to Milwaukee, he had a great game, but that paled in comparison to what he did in the second quarter, where he puts up 14 points and 5 assists in that second quarter. And you're like, this Bucks team, that growth, that maturity that you're talking about, they just did not go away. They refused to go away.
And there was a consistency in effort, right? Like basketball, we talk about it all the time. It's a make or miss league. Yep. And so sometimes those shots are not going to fall. That's what Phoenix has found out when they got blown out and Booker shot, what, didn't he make 10 points in that game three, I think it was. And he's like been bad at green threes the entire series, but, or the postseason. But the point is that Milwaukee weathered the storm. Mm-hmm. They kept believing in their process, kept believing the shots were going to fall, kept finding those looks that they wanted. And eventually they did, whereas with the Suns, they still got to their spots. Yeah. Jay Crowder missed more than one wide open three. Chris Paul was missing the mid-range shots that normally fall. It was just one of those shooting nights where the gods were smiling on one team and not on the other.
And we give Budenholzer a ton of criticism, and he has gotten a ton of criticism. Heck, a couple of weeks ago we were talking about, like, this guy could go to the finals and get canned, right? Mm-hmm. Now he's one game away from winning the NBA Finals, and the biggest critique that he's had against him is his in-game adjustments or the game-to-game over a seven-game series, the refusal to adjust.
Yep.
And that's everything that Milwaukee has done, because you mentioned Jay Crowder. Torrey Craig was on the same path, because those two guys, they combined to go 1-of-7 and 0-for-4 from three. And the biggest adjustment that Milwaukee made was, like, in that second quarter, they said, screw it, dare them to shoot.
Yep.
Give them that wide open look. We are going to collapse on Devin Booker. We are going to make sure that we do not get absolutely manhandled by Chris Paul again. We're going to cut him off at the lane. And they said, we will get beat, by Jay Crowder and Torrey Craig, and those two guys could not beat him, and it was more apparent than ever in that second quarter. And then from there on, it really did. It felt like it was like a Rocky fight, right? We're like, the Russian was just beating the hell out of Rocky in the first round, in that first quarter. The second quarter, here comes Rocky. And then that third and fourth quarter, it was just haymakers back and forth.
Yes.
And that was so awesome to see, which was just like great basketball. Like, we saw shell shock Milwaukee in the first quarter, shell shock Phoenix in the second quarter. And you're seeing good coaches, good leadership. That third and fourth quarter, man, that was such fun basketball because you saw two teams unwilling to die in that game. This is what the NBA Finals are supposed to be.
It has been so much fun. Each game is like its own little story, but then you zoom out and it's such a perfect picture of both of these teams. And they really are at their best. This is going, whoever wins this, it will be the best team. There has not been, thank goodness, knock on wood, no injuries. It has been just one of those series where everyone has had their moment in the sun, and it's just about who can capture it the most in game six tomorrow, which Phoenix has not had their back against the wall yet. So we are going to see who these Suns are, how much this young core has grown and matured and developed with their backs against the wall in Milwaukee, where the Bucks are so, so dangerous, so good. That crowd is going to be insane. The Deer District is going to be able to be heard from like here, I'm pretty sure. It's going to be a lot of fun. So this series, I think, has been one of my favorite finals series in recent memory.
Does it matter who's playing anymore? Because we've got great basketball. That's been in front and center. And I would love to hear from fans out there, because I've been hooked on this playoffs all, really since they started. Because of we've had entertaining games. We have entertaining basketball. 503-250-1080. Because if you don't care who's playing, Game 5 was a great example of it. Here's Will. Does anybody care who's actually playing in these NBA Finals? Because we've got great basketball. Games 4 and 5 have been everything that we'd hoped they'd be. We had three blowouts to start it. But you have Giannis, who is a two-time MVP, which I think it's still crazy. People are like, oh, no star. What are you talking about? Guys won back-to-back MVPs.
Yep.
And I think all of that criticism is being put to bed on Giannis.
Oh, absolutely.
And because he's been epic.
He's rising to the moment, which is exactly what you need to do. You are the star of that team, and he is doing exactly what he should be doing.
But as you said, maturity, I saw this stat, which I thought was crazy, is that it was the Bucks' first win in the playoffs when Giannis has had a negative plus minus.
Really?
He played 40 minutes and 34 seconds, and they were minus 7 with him on the floor, which means in the 7 minutes and 26 seconds where he was off the floor, they were plus 11. And that's that start of that second quarter where Bobby Portis and Drew Holiday went nuts. It was with Giannis on the bench, and games 1 and 2, the games that they lost, they were minus 27 with Giannis on the bench. And so you want to look at one thing that's kind of like turned it, is that like we had like that moment, the dunk at the end from the alley-oop from Drew Holiday, where everybody's going crazy, and you get that moment that's like ingrained in your brain, and you look at the box score and you see that Giannis Antetokounmpo had 32 points on 14 of 23 shooting, and he had 9 rebounds and 6 assists, and you go, wait, they were actually better with him on the bench, shockingly. But these moments are there when Giannis is out on the floor, and that's a crazy part of that, about that maturity and that growth that you're talking about.
Yeah, because you look at the bench scoring in particular, right? Or the bench stats, I guess, in particular. You have Bobby Portis, Pat Connaughton, both positives for Milwaukee. You go down to the Suns, though, and this is the part that's sort of revealing itself. Torrey Craig, minus 7. Cam Johnson, minus 19. Payne, minus 4. Yeah. The Suns bench is not where, like, you have to have Devin Booker playing 42 minutes. You have to have DeAndre Ayton playing 45, especially DeAndre Ayton because of that injury. And they don't have a lot of bigs to make it up when Ayton's off the floor.
Well, and that's the crazy part about this is that this has been, like, Phoenix played really well. Like,
very well.
Actually, they played so well. This is a crazy stat that I had a buddy send me a screenshot of. And so I went and I looked it back up. The guy, he works in Vegas. He's like a gambling dude. His name's Ralph Michaels. He had this tweet that said it was only the second time since 1995 a team was over 55% from the field, 65% from three, 90% from the free throw line and lost the game.
Jeez. Talk about a make or miss, come down to the wire
teams,
kind of game.
Teams are now 32,179-2 since 1995.
Oh, my gosh.
The only other time it happened was December 28th of 2005 when the Hawks lost to the Raptors in a regular season game. Like, you talk about...
Wow.
Phoenix played well enough to win, mm-hmm. and they still lost that game. Because in the clutch, the biggest stars of Milwaukee showed up. Giannis, Middleton, Andrew Holiday yep. on both ends of the floor. Because in that second quarter, they went on that run when it could have been roll over and die and kind of concede that, hey, you know, Phoenix is going to do this to us again on their home floor. And they didn't. And your bench comes to life, as you said, Pat Connaughton with 14 points. Mm-hmm. Like, That's an inspired effort. Portis gets all nine of his buckets in that second quarter, and you're able to hold off a truly dominant performance from the Phoenix Suns because you get those efforts. Mm-hmm. That doesn't happen. I mean, it's only happened one other time in, you know, since 95. That's crazy.
It also just goes to show you what good basketball we are watching, right? Like, when guys are making that percentage of shots, this is a very fun series for fans to watch mm-hmm. because the shots are falling. The level of difficulty of some of these shots that were going in for Milwaukee, crazy to watch. And so I think that's why, for me, you ask whether or not it matters who's playing. If you love the game of basketball, this finals has it.
It's especially
it. Especially these last two games, because you are seeing the best of the best be at their best. And it's almost like not exactly a roll of the dice, but it can come down. An entire game can be boiled down to like a stretch where the Suns only score 5 points in 4 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, that's crazy. I mean, they shoot 55% from the field, 65% or better from three, 90% or more from the free throw line. Teams have won 32,179 games and lost two.
My gosh.
One of them was on Saturday night in the NBA Finals. And that's why, like, we got texts like this, P1 Eric saying, best series in years. We don't know who's going to win it at the beginning of the series. I love it, and that's why it'll last. Super teams will be back next year, guaranteed. And that's kind of what sucks, is that, like, we sit here and we go, at the beginning of this, it was, I have no idea. And then we saw those first two games, and it looked like Milwaukee was toast. And then you sit there and you go, Chris Paul's finally going to get his ring. Boy, that conversation now is Chris Paul ever going to get a ring?
Yeah.
We got two games for his entire legacy. His entire career is like hinging on the next two games for him. I mean, is he obviously the next one yep. if he wants to keep this thing alive?
I just don't. It is going to take a Hercules. The Suns put up a fantastic effort yep. on Saturday night, and it was not enough. Milwaukee, you think they're going to fall off at home? I don't know.
We didn't think that we would see it from Phoenix. And when's the last time Phoenix lost four games in a row, though, too?
Like,
you know,
January or something. Like that.
It has yeah. been a long haul since yep. that happened. And you got to keep all of these things in mind when you're talking about, it's insanely hard to beat a team as good as Phoenix four times in a row.
Yes.
And that's what's on the line for game six come tomorrow night.
Crazy.
Woo! Hey, Chauncey Billups is added to his coaching staff, and it signals a lot more to the efforts that the NBA as a whole have put in. Next on The Fan. All right, Chauncey Billups continuing to round out his coaching staff here in Portland, signaling the efforts that really the NBA as a whole has put in, as he is hiring main assistant Ignacia Curry to join his staff as an assistant for the Portland Trailblazers, joining with Scotty Brooks and Roy Rogers mm-hmm. on the staff.
Yep. So she played at Oregon for a minute. She also played at Cal State Northridge.
Okay.
But finished her college career with the Ducks, played in the WNBA. She was drafted in the third round in 2002. She played in the WNBA. She played overseas. She also was a part of the NBA assistant coaches program for the draft combine and the G League showcase. So reading about her, her strengths are really in player development and scouting talent. And so I'd imagine that's one of the things that they're bringing her in for is A, she's played for a long time. So she knows has been in at a lot of levels of the game. And so she knows the game incredibly well. And, player development is what I'd anticipate her having a big hand in.
And this is what we see a lot of in the NBA, and it's taken years to develop and to kind of work into. And I know that a lot of criticism comes the NFL's way because it just isn't immediate, right? Mm-hmm. But you mentioned that there's been like a developmental pipeline for the NBA that they've put female coaches into. And this is where that sort of starts paying off. And it's years down the road, right? It's not this immediacy thing that jumps in and it happens. And Anisha Curry joining the Blazers staff, like, I mean, that is another sign of the diversity hirings in the NBA actually working. But how about the fact that with Wes Unseld being named the Wizards head coach over the weekend, now 7 of the 8 head coaching vacancies in the NBA were filled by black head coaches. Which is you sit there and you look at the NFL has had this effort for diversity hirings and the Rooney Rule and all that stuff. The NBA is making these hires and they're acting on their diversity training programs that they have. When you look from Ime Udoka going from San Antonio up to Boston, Chauncey Billups coming here to Portland, really it was Rick Carlisle, the only guy to get a head coaching job, white guy to get a head coaching job in Indiana. He had an NBA championship.
Pretty good.
And he's already been the head coach in Indiana.
So there's that. But I like this move for Chauncey's staff. Yeah. I think this is a good one, and we're seeing him we're getting a really a fuller picture, I guess, of what he wants his staff to look like. It's got experience. It also has some of, you know, Anisha is more of a player development sort of that, I guess, like next generation of coaches sort of. And I like the staff that he's putting together.
It will be interesting to see kind of what the roster looks like that they inherit.
Yes.
Right? Because what we heard on Friday is that S needs to change.
Yep.
On this roster. Big moves need to be made to keep Damian Lillard happy. And remember, Neil O'Shea, his main priority is to keep Damian Lillard happy. He's doing a bang up job of that so far. But if that is the case, you know, and Dame keeping Dame happy means this roster needs to be improved dramatically, it will be interesting to see kind of what moves are going to be made to support Chauncey Billups and Scott Brooks' offensive vision. Roy Rogers, who comes from the Clippers with that defensive background, and that's going to be the guy that Chauncey Billups said he's going to bring in vets that he's going to lean on. It's a guy he's seen work very closely down there as a broadcaster. 1 year worked with him as an assistant coach on the defensive end. That's going to be the defensive changes that we're going to see are coming from the minds of the Clippers staff and Roy Rogers.
Okay, so what I don't understand, though, is I thought the roster wasn't the problem.
Yes, thank you, Will.
Well, it depends on who you ask.
We know. We talk. Was most of Friday's
okay,
show,
but
Will.
I'm really confused, though. I don't get it. Like, was told president of everything that the roster construction is not the issue and the coach is a bum.
Yes, when Damian Lillard said,
I don't know
if
how
you
look
at this roster and you say this is a championship roster, I think that the main player is saying, yes, we do have a roster construction issue here in Portland.
I do love how he was also trying to like smear over just a little bit the meeting that Neil Olshay and Chauncey were going to have with him Friday. That they just like flew down. He was like, oh, no, that happens. I was like, oh, that happens? The general manager and your coach come down to visit you during U.S. Olympic trials or practice to talk about what?
Yeah. I think he said that they have done that every year that he's gone down for that.
Well, he hasn't gone down in What do you mean, gone down for Team USA stuff?
Yeah, anytime he said it's happened anytime he's gone down. Well, no, he's gone to do select. He worked out on the select team, which is not Team USA.
Right.
There is a difference. That's where Keldon Johnson, who Keldon Johnson played well.
Yeah.
Where Keldon Johnson got pulled up from. Mm. But, I mean, that was a long time ago because, what, in 2016 he pulled out because of an injury.
Yeah.
And so he hasn't been down there in a while.
Well, and meetings, even routine meetings, when the pressure is up like it has been this offseason, there's nothing routine about them. They may do them, but the tone of this meeting is very different than, I think, the tone of past, like, we're just checking in during the offseason.
Yeah, because he said he doesn't know his future.
Yes.
Yes.
Slightly
it'd
different
be, it'd
tone.
That'd be a big reason. That'd be
slightly
a big reason
different.
Why.
And a
slightly
rumor different. From a higher level journalist in the NBA community is not true, by the way. Definitely not true.
I believe it wasn't true.
I believe it was partly true. And I believe that if you think
hold on.
What?
How is it partly true?
Because
there is no partly true to this. It was either Damian Lillard is going to request a trade or he's not, and Damian Lillard said, I'm not.
No, I think that what he probably told the person who leaked it to Henry Abbott was that there's a conditional basis on me starting to think about floating this trade out. And it was probably like a game of telephone where the guy just went to Abbott and was like, yep, he's going to do it here in the next couple of days because Portland's not going to change anything.
Oh, I
just,
if you're going to get on. But that is a big difference from Damian Lillard will or will not. And that the report was incorrect. We do know that. But the Blazers have a hell of a lot of work to do.
And the report was incorrect, and the Blazers have not. I think this was Dame saying, like, you don't have my undying loyalty anymore.
Yes.
Right? Like, which is what it has been for his entire time in the NBA, is I'm a Blazer. I don't know how many times I have to say that. Every time someone asks him about it, it's like, I've said what I've said. I don't know why you keep asking. And this was like, my loyalty does have limits. And you're getting close.
Well, I think everybody in Portland should be happy that Henry Abbott's report was out there.
Because it gave Damian Lillard quite the platform.
Yeah. And he came out and he said it.
Set
and
the tone.
He laid out the framework for what this is going to look like this offseason for the Blazers. And so,
that's what you thought from what he said?
Yes, absolutely.
I thought he set expectations.
Yeah.
Boy, I think he pretty much sealed what's going to happen. I mean, best case scenario, he is there halfway through this season. And if they're not doing well enough, I think that's it. I don't know what you guys heard, but I thought he just did the thing at the front of the press conference, which was like, that's a lie, it's not true,
not
right?
True.
He said, this isn't true. I was like, okay, that's a lie because you're not going to come out during this press conference and go, you know what? That report is right. Okay, so you're going to cover that up. But then not like two breaths later was he like, yeah, but you know what? I'm not really certain on what's going on here, which to me was just a clear indication of I'm halfway out the door.
No.
Unless a miracle happens, I ain't sticking around.
He's setting the framework and turning up the heat, and that's exactly what he was trying to do.
But you think that he thinks they're actually going to put something together? Do you think realistically in his head he's like...
No, Will, that's a totally different conversation than he's setting the framework for what needs to be done here in Portland. Whether that happens or not is different than what you just said.
And it's not up to Damian Lillard, I think, is the other thing. I think he's setting expectations, but I see what you're saying of, like, he could be thinking about, like, okay, well, is this something that they are capable of doing, right? Like, that is a very valid question to ask, but it's not really... I guess I didn't view it as him being halfway out the door because, again, Damian Lillard, it's not his brand to be loyal. He is loyal. And so to me, this was him saying, I am giving you a chance. I'm not trying to leave. I'm not unhappy with living in Oregon and being a member of the Blazers, but this franchise needs to support me and my dreams better than they have, or my loyalty has limits.
Well, and when he said he's always wanted to play in one uniform and be a Blazer's entire career and win a championship here. But he also said, like, look, what are we doing? Yep. We're trying to win a championship.
Yep.
I mean, he literally said that. So when you say, what are you hearing? Like, that is quite literally what he said. Yeah. And you don't need to be able to read between the lines to say he's setting up the framework to where the Blazers need to make a push, and that's what he's trying to do.
I viewed it as he's setting the framework to leave. That's how I viewed it.
Well, it's the same thing. I mean, it's what the Blazers need to do, or he will leave. Like,
see,
that,
I think he knows. I think in the back of the head, it's been nine years and they haven't done it.
That's what you're saying. It's been nine years.
Yeah. I mean, really. Do you think at this point he's like, now they're going to do it when we have no assets to trade?
Well,
we're way over the cap and an owner who doesn't want to go into the luxury tax.
He is not. Well, again, that is something that we're going to find out about Jody Allen's aspirations of leadership here with the team, because we have no idea what's going to happen. The only thing that we hear is like, hey, the Blazers are getting ready to sell. But then we have the Jason Quick article that says she's starting to become more committed than before. It's like, where is she? Yeah. Where is Burt Cold during all of this too?
Totally.
It's ridiculous.
It would be very nice to hear from them.
Yeah. Yeah, it would. All right. Anyways, Blazers made a hire to their staff. Anisha Curry.
I like it. I like it quite a bit. I think she brings a lot of game experience, a lot of pro experience. She played overseas too. I think this is a great addition to Chauncey's staff.
The opening ceremonies are this week in Tokyo. Things aren't exactly going awesome right now in Tokyo. But hey, Team USA is looking better until you get the news that just came down. AJ and Dusty on the Fan.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.